One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of MetaSci Kicks. My name is Liv, and this is the podcast where we talk about all things paranormal, metaphysical, spiritual, and in between. Today, we're going to be talking about another listener's stories, volume 29 to be exact, and our 198th episode. We're two away from 200. I'm excited about that. My favorite numbers are 2, 4, 24, and 27 or 21. I think I like 27 and 21. I don't know. Do with that information what you will. If you guys are new to this podcast, thank you for being here. In our installment of listener stories, unlike other podcasts, as a professional psychic medium, I'm going to do my darndest to give you any sort of spiritual insight into the stories that other listeners have sent in. We have three stories today, and I think they're pretty cool. The first one I find really funny because the way Sam writes is fabulous. But before we get into today's listener stories, I have a quick life update. And I mean, it's pretty quick. I don't have too much to talk about today. So if you don't want to listen about something personal to me and my life and the things that are going on in it, you can use the timestamps down below in the show notes or in the description below if you're listening on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube channel, and just click past this. You don't have to listen to me talk about myself outside of my profession, but if you so choose, continue listening. Without further ado, this is what's new with me. So I might have talked about this a while ago in a past podcast. I'm not entirely sure. I know I for sure talked about it in one of my Patreon life updates, but a couple months ago, I want to say, I don't know, I guess it's maybe been 4 to 6 months since we adopted Gatsby officially. My grandmother passed away 4 years ago, right? And my uncle ended up taking care of her cat, Gatsby. He's black and white. He has jelly beans for brains. That's what we say in the house. But my uncle could no longer care for him. And no one else in my somewhat large side of the family on my dad's side also could not care for him. And me being the bleeding heart that I am was like, oh, Hana means family. And we ended up adopting Gatsby. And thus far, his integration into the family has been really good. Sniffles, my oldest cat, who I've had for almost 10 years. I literally pulled her out of a flower pot when I used to shadow an equine vet during my college years. She now has like purpose in her life, which is bullying Gatsby. And Gatsby is 100% okay with being bullied because that's just how their relationship is. There's an alpha and then there's not an alpha. And that's Sniffles and Gatsby. They have their own cat beds. We just recently picked up a second cat bed because they kind of like go back and forth between which of them is in the old cat bed versus not. And my husband had the lovely idea at the discount store the other day to get a second cat bed, and they really seem to enjoy that. And they don't necessarily sleep together, but they're always together in the same room, at least like 3 feet apart. Kind of like that old meme, like two guys sitting in a hot tub 2 feet apart because they're not gay. That's kind of how Sniffles and Gatsby is. But the whole reason for my life update is, oh, it's been like over the past week or two that Gatsby, I feel like, is finally feeling that this home is his forever home. And he's really opening up more and being comfortable and silly and outgoing and just hanging out with the family more actively, if you will. Because we have routines in our house. Like when it's bath time with the baby, Sniffles is always upstairs. My dog Fennel is always upstairs. They're all in the bathroom, or at least within the vicinity of the bathroom, while it's tubby time for my son with my husband and I. And Gatsby usually stays to himself. He'll just stay downstairs. But I've been noticing that more often than not, when I wake up in the morning, he's right there. He's meowing. He's excited. And my son gets up and he runs over to Gatsby and he goes, "Morning." And they have their own little morning routine now. I had some friends over the weekend and we ate tacos, and I have this little tiny like breakfast nook in my house because my house is not very large. It's a modest size. And to keep, you know, just the layout kind of clutter-free, we have this little breakfast nook table in our kitchen. And one side has the benches that run along the wall, right? And then the other side has just a little bench that you can push in and out with the table to kind of save space if you're not using it. And my two friends were sitting on the other side on the bench, and Sniffles was on one side of my friend, and then Gatsby was smack dab in the middle of both of them while they were eating their tacos. And he was just a happy little camper, just greeting people. I had some other people come over my house for like construction work and things that has been going on for a while. And the construction dude came in and Gatsby was immediately at the front door meowing, rubbing up against their legs. He's like, "Hey bro, this is my house. How are you today?" And it makes me really happy that I think he finally feels 100% a part of the family and not just in like another like halfway house, if you will. And he really knows where his treats are kept. My cat Sniffles doesn't really like treats, so we have treats specifically for Gatsby, and he sits on the countertop underneath the cupboard where he knows his treats are. And whenever he wants them, he just sits there and looks at you and meows with his like eyes slightly apart. He just looks like he has jelly beans for brains. And I've been noticing too, when I make my coffee in the morning or when I'm cooking in the evening, he's in the kitchen with me, and he doesn't necessarily beg for food. He just likes treats. And I know that when he's in the kitchen with me and he's not sitting on the cabinet begging for his treats to come out of the cupboard, when I am actually making coffee or cooking dinner and he's there and like rubbing up against me and meowing and then sitting and just waiting, it's like bonding time. And it makes me really happy because, I mean, we didn't have a rough transition into the house. He had some medical issues that had to be taken care of, so he was quarantined for a couple weeks in just a small room in my house. But since then, I was worried that since he didn't seem to like my dog, Fennel loves animals. It doesn't matter what animal it is. I'm sure she would go up to a grizzly bear and get eaten because she would think that they were friendly. But he hasn't really liked Fennel, and he still lets her know that he's a cat and she's a dog, but their interactions have gotten a lot more copacetic, if you will, to when she comes up and wants to sniff his face, he backs up and then just looks at her and then walks away like, "Excuse me, but this is my space and my face and you're not allowed to be here." And if she persists, then obviously she gets a little five piece to the snoodle doodle, if you will, but he's not scared of her anymore is basically the biggest thing. And his relationship with Sniffles is, I think it's pretty good. So it just makes my heart happy. And that's my life update. All right. So without further ado, let's get into today's listener stories. Our first listener story was sent in by Samantha S. And the title of her story is "The Formless Footsteps and Mysterious Black Blob." Winky face. I really like the winky face. It is necessary. Sam says, "Hi, I just wanted to say that I'm a fairly new fan, but you have made such an impact in my life. I say this because I have had quite a few paranormal experiences throughout my life, and I genuinely thought that I had lost the plot. After I watched one of your YouTube videos reacting to Sam and Colby, whom I'm obsessed with, I realized that I had seen, albeit a fraction, of what you guys see, but physically. So thank you for doing what you do because I love it and feel a little less crazy every time I watch your videos or listen to your podcast. Anyways, to the stories. I would like to share two, if that's okay. The first story. In a house I used to live in a few years ago was where I experienced the majority of my paranormal experiences. On one afternoon, I was sitting on a patio my dad had built at the very back corner of the garden. The floor was built with quite thick wooden poles that ran across the patio, but because the poles didn't have any support underneath, when you walked on them, you could feel the wood bend, and it often creaked and made a lot of noise when you walked. We had put two wooden tables slash benches next to each other on the patio, but not connected, and on this afternoon, I was sitting on top of the table with my feet on the seat. I was listening to music with headphones loudly, as always, and was enjoying a smoke while playing on my phone. Through the music, I could hear the floor creaking as if someone was walking on it. I'd assumed it was one of my dogs, and after a while looked over to the direction of the sound. I paused the music on my phone and didn't take them off. When I looked in the direction of the noise, I expected to see one of my dogs, but instead, there was nothing there. However, the creaking didn't stop, and I could hear the individual steps as if someone was definitely there and walking. The entire event seemed as if it was in slow-mo. I was following the sound of the steps from where I was sitting and heard the steps move next to the other bench. Although I couldn't physically see that someone was there, I could definitely feel a presence walking. As I was watching in disbelief, suddenly it felt like the presence had become aware of me, and it felt like where I was staring was the direction into the eyes of this presence. It had stopped walking as soon as it noticed me, and then in a flash, everything went so quickly. The presence started walking very quickly towards me. Fortunately, it walked around the bench and didn't go over or through the bench. This moment makes me believe that I was a gymnast in another life because my body just took over and I launched myself from the bench right off the patio and into the garden. I had somehow launched myself with such graceful form, I might add, a meter or so away from the patio while holding my phone, smokes, and headphones still on my head. I immediately turned around and prepared myself for what may happen next, and the presence moved towards me. I could still hear their footsteps as the presence made its way around the bench and walked along the end of the patio until it was directly in front of me. Once it was in front of me, as if maybe it had stopped off the patio to the ground, the footsteps stopped. I was in a serious shock and couldn't move for a minute or two after the footsteps stopped. As soon as I clicked back into reality, I immediately phoned my friend and asked her to stay on the line while I walked backwards, away from the patio to the house. Ever since that day, I avoid that patio and never stay there alone. My favorite part about this story is, Sam, when you tell me that, quote, "this moment makes me believe I was a gymnast in another life because my body just took over and I launched myself from the bench right off the patio and into the garden." And you say, "with such graceful form, I might add." I don't know why, but I had an old manager when I worked at Starbucks and her name was Julie. And whenever I read your story, I just envision you looking like my old manager, Julie, because she also smoked, I believe. And I just have an image of my old manager jumping backwards, like in a cartoon, and like sticking the landing. And there's just like Bugs Bunny behind the corner and he holds up a sign that says like 10, you know, and there's like applause in the background. You know, that's what it makes. I'm sure this was a very scary, scary moment for you, as you expressed in your thing. But if I was watching it happen from, like, I don't know, behind the bush, maybe the footsteps were me. You don't know. Have you ever seen me and the footsteps in the same patio area? Exactly. Anyways. Okay. I don't know the explanation necessarily for your story, because see, this is what freaks me out. When I originally read your story, and I've read your story like 4 or 5 times because I've wanted to put it in other listener stories, Sam, but they haven't fit, so I've been saving yours the best for last, if you will. And I thought when I originally read this story that perhaps you were experiencing a residual haunting, right? Because there's two types of hauntings. There's an active haunting and there's a residual haunting. A residual haunting is sort of like an energetic imprint into an area. So it's not active. It's just almost like replaying a scene energetically within an area. So it's not something that's physically interacting with you. But then an active haunting is a soul, spirit, being, entity, whatever you want to call it, that is physically interacting with you, or I should say energetically, literally interacting with you and your presence at that time in space, that moment, if you will. And I thought reading this beginning, hearing the footsteps and you just minding your own business, you know, having a smoke and listening to your tunes on your phone, that you were just listening to a residual haunting. But the fact that you moved in, it went around the table too, instead of through it like some Scooby-Doo freaking scene, absolutely gave me chills while I was reading this. I was like, oh no, Sam's in danger. So it made me sit down for a second and kind of, you know, pop on my mediumship hat and see what could have been happening. So one of the things that I perceive is that every time I read this, no matter how many times I read this, I feel like the presence that you were around, I want to say it is a soul. I don't think it's non-human. I think it's a human soul, specifically of a man, because I never get a different feeling every time I read your story. I always feel like it's some man that was perceiving you. But the weird thing that I don't understand is at one point, like, it was kind of like the Spider-Man meme where you guys are like pointing fingers at each other, because you were just like minding your own business, right? And then it wasn't until you looked in their direction that it seemed that they also looked in your direction. So it's almost like you guys were coexisting until you looked at them. So that's the thing that freaks me out of, are you guys on the same timeline or are you in different timelines? Because that's the notes that I have from reading your story. And it still is something that I'm not entirely sure about, which is why I want to share with you. Because, you know, maybe me talking about this will give you the information to come to your own conclusion type of thing. Because I do feel like it's a man. I do feel like it's a human soul. However, the rest of it, I'm a little discombobulated about. So it's almost like this soul may have been existing at a different point in time. Like the way I see your backyard, or like the area where your patio is, I feel like it's like a backyard maybe. And there's like a small green area of grass and then a tree line that butts up to where the grass ends. And that's sort of like where you jumped off the patio from the table, is off into the grass. And then the tree line would have been behind you. And then you have to like walk out and around the house to get to the front again. So if that's wrong, then take that into consideration. But that's always what I see when I read this story. I feel like possibly the soul that you were perceiving may have been existing in between timelines. Now, with that being said, what I mean is you, your physical energy, your essence, because that's kind of fun to say, I am not anything, I am just an essence. Your physicalness is existing in this place and time, right? Like right now. However, when it comes to souls and spiritual beings, they can exist outside of time. So the thing that makes me feel like this soul didn't see you before or really recognize you until you sort of looked at them was because maybe they were existing on a different timeline. Because I feel like they may be more so related to the land than the patio or the house. I mean, maybe they're related to the house, but the little tidbit of information that I don't think I'm talking to them. I'm just asking spirit or my spirit guides in general to give me more information. I don't think I'm talking to the soul of this man, presumably, hypothetically, if he's a man, etc. But I feel like he may have been existing energetically in a different point in time, like one where the deck may not have existed. But then that doesn't make sense because his energy was making the deck creak. So that could be wrong. It's just so odd to me. I thought maybe that he was existing on a different timeline, almost like in between the present and in between the past of when the deck may not have been there. And it wasn't until you sort of energetically connected with him by making that quote unquote eye contact, if you will, that it snapped his energy more to this reality, this timeline, the one that took place in your story. And maybe that's why he was more confrontational of like, hey, I was just strolling through this backyard as it was, say, 20, 30, 40, 50, however many years ago. And then all of a sudden his energy was sort of brought to the presence maybe by your own. And then that's why he confronted you, because it was almost like you're in your own daydream, but then someone brings you back to reality and you're like, hey, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. I was having a good daydream here. And then you just snapped me back to wherever this place is. But that, again, that's just what I wrote down as, was there a timeline split? I don't think that this man knows you, but it's so odd to me. So do with that what you will, that information. And let me know if you hear this, Sam, if that makes any sense to you, if it helps solve a question or a problem. The last thing that I wrote about your story is clairsentience, that you feel the man walking, but you don't see them. That is something that I talk about in one of the blog posts that I wrote on our website about clairsentience. So many people come to me and they're like, can you tell me if I'm an empath? Which is fine. That's totally cool. I can try and help explain that and what it means so that you can either identify with being an empath or not. But clairsentience is so much more than being an empath, which is just, you know, feeling emotions of souls or spirits or the emotions of others, whether they be people or pets. But clairsentience, I like to say, is like psychic proprioception. It's your ability to feel where energy of a soul, spirit, being, whatever, in relation to you in space and time. So it's almost like if you were to close your eyes and someone else or something else is in the room with you, like a person or your cat or your dog, and you're able to feel where they are in relation to your body, but you're not actually looking at them, that comes up all the time. So clairsentience is not just emotions, but it's physical feelings as well. So if I'm giving a reading to someone and say, their past dog comes in, right? Even if it's a pet psychic reading and the animals are alive, a lot of times people will ask me questions about their pet's health, which I'm not a health professional and I always tell people that, but sometimes animals will come forward and they'll talk about like they have had an injury in the past, say like they broke a leg or something like that. Sometimes animals will bring that up to me and I will clairsentiently feel it within my own body as like an ache or a knowing of where that old injury is, and they'll talk about it like, oh, the weather is making my back left leg hurt. And then the owners are like, wow, my dog broke their leg a couple years ago. And the dog's like, yeah, it's healed now, but it's raining and now now my leg is achy. So that, I think it's really cool that you explain clairsentient, that psychic proprioception, Sam, so well in your story by literally just knowing where that person is in space and time, but you can't physically see them. And it is also one of the most wild experiences that you could ever have. So moving on to Sam's next story. Sam's second story starts by saying, another weird experience that I just have to share happened a couple of months after I moved out of the house mentioned above and moved in with my gran. Again, I was sitting on the patio and having a smoke while looking into the garden at just close to midnight. While I was looking at the garden, my eyes drifted to a big potted plant that was close in front of me. I had noticed a small, black, almost roundish blob that appeared to be peeking out from behind this potted plant. As soon as I noticed it and pondered the thought, thinking, what the heck, the black blob slowly backed away to behind the pot. I immediately thought that I had simply lost my mind and decided not to get upset. I carried on with my smoke but kept checking the pot from the corner of my eye. Within about 5 minutes, the black blob appeared again, but very quickly dashed in front of me again before rushing behind the pot again. This time, I decided I was in fact not crazy and jumped straight out of my own chair and moved to the house. I bet it was a 10. I bet you gymnast landed that too. Sam says, I felt like the presence was just playful and curious about me. I haven't seen it again since, but I suspect that it was just more careful with being caught again. Sam S. Sam, this story makes me so happy. You have really good stories, and the detail that you provide along with like the way you convey the emotions is chef's kiss. So your physical clairvoyance is very, very cool, because there's physical clairvoyance is hard for me because as a mental medium, I don't usually see things physically unless it's the normal, like, run of the mill, say, like, shadow figure or something like that, or something out of the corner of my eye. I never see physically detailed things as if I were seeing things in my normal environment. I usually see things with detail more so in what's known as your mind's eye. So you being able to explain seeing the cute little, what I assume is fae being in your grand's garden is absolutely adorable and nothing short of something that should be put in like a Studio Ghibli movie. It makes me think about, what is it, the one movie, My Friend Totoro, where they have the little smoke or like dust fae. It makes me think about that, but instead mix it with like, oh, what's the little Pokemon that looks like a radish? If you guys know Pokemon, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And it sounds like radish, but maybe it is just radish. Anyways, that's what your story makes me think of. I feel like you were just perceiving one of the little fae beings that work in your garden at your grandmother's house. But the fact that you physically perceived it with your clairvoyance is crazy to me. So I enjoy that. It makes me super happy. And I feel like some people might listen to this if they're new and hear me say fae. So I feel like I should specify that when I think of fae beings, my conceptualization of what fae beings are is that they are the energy that exists between the particles of physicality. So there's this one thing, this one tidbit of ADHD information that I have that is between all of the particles or like atoms that create your body, if you were to smush down and get rid of all of the dead space, if you will, between the atoms of your existence, just your human physical body, you technically would be the size of a sugar cube. So everything else in between the particles of your physicality is just space. And I think that fae beings, fairies, if you will, are the energy that exists between space of physicality. So when we have like nature fae, like the one that Sam, I believe, was perceiving behind the little potted plant at her grand's house, was just one of the energetic beings that exist within that area of space. So like the garden plants, hence why in old lore, it's like, you can't anger the fae spirits. You have to leave one of the fairy trees and like the fields that you plow, things like that. So I enjoy your stories, Sam. Thank you so much for sending them in. And we're moving on to the next one.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress Hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
All right, so our next story is sent in by Katie Kins Bish. Unless the only way I can read your name, Kate, so I appreciate it. The title of Katie Kins' story is The Medium in the Angry House. Katie says, "Hi, Liv. I'm so excited to send in a story for listener stories. I've listened to all of your podcasts and have been there since you started. I've never sent in a story before because I don't know which one to send. I believe I'm a medium, therefore I have so many. But I think the ones I have least clarity on are the hauntings I've experienced myself rather than readings I've offered other people to connect them with their past loved ones. So my story is, when I was a teenager, we lived in a house that seemed pretty ordinary. My parents were excited to move there, but I always felt like there was something off with the house. I didn't know then that I had these gifts. However, when I was little, 8, I think, something happened with a spirit that lived in my wardrobe that freaked me out, and I blocked myself off from a lot of paranormal things after that. Side note, why is it always the wardrobes in the corners of the rooms? To answer your question, Katie Kins, I've never had weird feelings about wardrobes. That is new. And I think I actually read another story where someone had weird things going on with wardrobes. However, personally, the only thing close to a wardrobe that I've ever really experienced was with someone else during a reading. This lovely person's great-grandfather was kind of like a spiritual guide for them, guardian angel, whatever you want to call it. And he would turn on and off the light in her closet because he thought he was funny. So that's the only wardrobe sort of thing that I've ever gotten close to with being like paranormal activity. And then I think the corners of the room are just good because they're always sort of shrouded in a bit of a shadow, or they're like, there's a casting of a shadow from, you know, the light and things. So it's just always good with whether there's paranormal activity or not, just seeing things out of the corners of your eyes. So I get you, girl. Anywho, Katie Kins says, when I was younger, I would get these massive headaches too. Now that I've opened myself back up to things, I no longer get them. Now, this house we had moved into was relatively new. It was only about 10 years old, but it was built on an old vineyard. I would get very strange dreams of a male figure watching me. Ew, as I'm talking about it, I can see it. He seemed to give off angry vibes. I would just see a warped male figure. I woke many times to an indent sitting on my bed while I was sleeping and experienced a lot of sleep paralysis. One time I was home alone, and I walked from the shower to my room and shut the door behind me. The door hadn't closed fully when it began to open again. I thought it was my cat following me, so I started talking to her saying, "Out you go," and jokingly said, "Make sure you close the door on your way out." And the door swung closed again. But of course, when I turned around, she wasn't there. My brother was highly affected by this energy too. Sometimes he would go into full fits of rage, smashing up the house and the walls, and this was completely out of character for him. Our dog would growl and bark at corners. I took a photo of her once that looked like she was attacking something that was a shadow. And one night, I came home with my then-boyfriend, now husband. At 3 a.m., we were laying in bed when we heard what sounded like the smashing of hands and feet on the other side of the wall where my bed was. It lasted a good 3 to 5 minutes. My bedroom wall backed up to the lounge, which seemed to have the most activity in the house, apart from my room and bathroom. My husband and I were both shitting ourselves. It was so scary. We kept saying to each other, "You go check. No, you go check." But none of us did. Finally, I slammed my hand against the wall and said, "Enough. Stop it." And the hitting against the wall stopped. We ended up selling the house not long after that, during which the activity only increased. My boyfriend ended up sleepwalking and standing over me in my sleep. He was also asleep when this happened, too. When we were all packed up and I was the last to leave the house, I said to whatever had been haunting us, "You are not allowed to follow us. You are to remain here." I don't remember completely what else I said. I just remember feeling that I had this force of strong protective energy behind me. Back then, I didn't know what it was, but now I know this was my guides and other protective spirits. What came out of my mouth was a strong command, and I was able to close the chapter on that house, but it reopened the spiritual world for me, and for that I'm thankful. Let me know if you'd like more stories. Katie Kins, bish. Katie? Yes, please. I would love more stories. That would be fabulous. Your stories are scary. I don't like the fact that you talk about how your brother would go into these like full fits of rage, smashing up the house and the walls, because we've gone to a couple different haunted locations and I don't remember. I think there was two locations. We had our friend Russell who was there to help film for us. And I want to say it was the Conjuring House and then the Wilson Castle. I could be wrong about the Wilson Castle. It may have been the Fairfield Infirmary. I feel like the Conjuring House was one for sure, but the other two, I'm not entirely sure. I just remember that at two different locations, when we were filming, we would all come back after breaking off into like little groups to record different sections of wherever it was that we were, and then come back to our base, which was like a kitchen or a sitting room, something like that. And there was two times that I remember where Russell was getting super affected by the energy of wherever it was that we were at. And he would get angry. I wish I remember where it was. I just remember like the specific scene where we came back to the base and Russell was sitting in the chair. And Russell's a Virgo, right? He's pretty easygoing and relaxed. And he's usually very confident and happy, go lucky, like brings Wheat Thins as the snack. And he was sitting in a chair with his legs crossed, like knee on his ankle or ankle on his knee, and his foot was twitching and his arms were crossed across his chest. And he was like, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't like this place, yada, yada, yada. And he's like always the one that is first to walk into a house and is always, like I said, happy, go lucky at a location. And he was just pissed for no reason. And I think he ended up going outside to just sit in the car or something for a little bit. And when he came back, it was very different. But I've noticed and seen how energies of locations that are haunted can change and affect people's personality. There was another time. Okay, so more recently, I traveled to New Orleans, Louisiana with Amanda from Mackie and Amanda, the Spooky Booze, if you've ever heard of their channel. And we went into one location and there was three of us. And I remember when we walked in to this location, we all had completely different feelings of the space. Amanda and our friend were very just like, they felt heavy energy. They felt very claustrophobic, agitated, sort of sad and like anxious, nervous, if you will. But when I walked into the location, I was like, sick. This is cool. I like it. I'm excited about this. I feel like we could play Parcheesi. Who's in? And it was weird to see how the energy of the place affected us differently. So when I read how the energy in this house made your brother act, I've experienced it before. That's what I'm trying to say. You're not the only person that has gone through this or seen it happen. Now, when you talk about your boyfriend doing the thing where he was like watching you while he was asleep, like standing over you, that's so weird. It almost makes, I do feel like I should go back. Let's rewind. I do feel like there is a male spirit in the house that you lived in built on the vineyard. And I do think that it has to do with the energy of the land that your house was built on. See, I talked about this show called Rescue Mediums in a couple podcasts back, like maybe a dozen or so podcasts. One of our listeners asked me to do like a review about it a little bit. And the specific episode that I watched is mentioned in that podcast. But basically these two mediums go into this old farmhouse, and I don't know how old the house is itself, but I know that people from like late 1800s, early 1900s lived on the property, if not the house, at some point in time. And there was the presence of this very angry man. And every time I end up reading your story, I'm shown the memory that I have of watching the Rescue Medium show. So I feel like the situation in this house is similar, and that there is some sort of unrestful sort of soul that's linked to the house and or the land. More so, I think in this case, it's the land. But it was in the Rescue Medium show, this the soul of this man didn't feel like he could pass over because he had lost so many family members to tragedies, like becoming ill, that he didn't want to go into heaven because he'd kind of lost faith in God and being able to go into heaven and see his past loved ones. But once the rescue mediums were able to convey to him that he could pass over and meet his lost loved ones yet again and be with them eternally, he was able to move on. But he was really, really angry up until that point. And I feel like, again, since I am being shown the memory of watching this rescue mediums episode for a past podcast, that the situation in this house is similar, because as a medium, spirit will show me things that I have seen, that I've experienced, in order to convey information. So I think that is my final answer. And then going back to the weird thing that we were talking about with your boyfriend doing the similar activity as to what you would experience with like the feeling of an angry man just like sitting on your bed. It's weird because it's almost like as if your boyfriend, when he was sleeping, the energy of this man, I'm not going to say possess, but would like influence your boyfriend to do the same sort of activity. That absolutely freaks me out. So I'm glad you're not in that house anymore. And I pray that whoever is in that house now, if there is anyone, is able to help the soul of this man. Because I feel like he has some things that he needs to share in order for his soul to be a little more at rest. So thank you so much, Katie Kins, for your story. And we're moving on to the next one. All right, our last story was sent in by a lovely sidekick by the name of Mel G. The title of Mel's story is My Child Spookery House. Mel says, Dear Liv, hi. I'd just like to start off by telling you that I'm really happy to have watched your channel. Your channel was one of the first that I felt was truly trustworthy, and I have learned and understood a lot about the metaphysical world thanks to your videos and podcast. Thanks for your sharing, and I look forward to more content. Aw, thanks, Mel. I appreciate you. It makes me happy that you said you've listened to all the podcasts, because I feel like so many other people tell me that they found us on like YouTube or TikTok, which is absolutely fabulous, and I love it. But you know, podcasts are my favorite thing, if you couldn't tell. So thanks for listening to the podcasts. Anyways, Mel says, on to my haunted story. Most of the spooky stuff had happened in my previous home. It was my childhood home, and my family had lived in it for maybe around a decade with consistent activity happening. I'll just tell you some of it, since it would take a while if I told you all of it. But funnily enough, my family did not really acknowledge these paranormal happenings until an incident that happened and we decided to move out. I'll elaborate more below. That and how my relatives, particularly my late grandmother, had each come out with their own experiences at that house, which they shared only after we all moved out. Personally, I do not remember any of the spooky stuff that happened since I had been really young and don't remember some of my earlier childhood memories. But my mother had informed me that when my brother and I were around toddler age, there was one time where both of us had been looking out of our window and started waving at nothing. And in my mom's perspective, we had been chattering, saying, "Hello, sister." And at that, my mom was so freaked out, she quickly distracted us. And then the major incident that had happened and had been partly the reason we had moved out had been that my mom had fallen down our porch and broken her leg. So after all these years, we still are not sure whether this was paranormally driven, but we moved out nonetheless. Just in case, I vaguely remember the incident, but not clearly because this had been years ago and I was a kid. But I do remember standing in the doorway and my mom had just been standing still on our porch right outside of the doorway. And suddenly, she was just sprawled out on the ground in pain. My mother later said she had felt as if she had been pushed, but there was also a chance that she had fell because the porch had been slippery with water as well. So what do you think, Liv? Was this just a pure accident, or was it metaphysical? So after that incident, while my mom had been recuperating at home, we had all moved our mattresses to the downstairs living room so that my mom would not have to sleep alone since she did not climb the stairs. But I remember clearly always having felt very unsettled sleeping there. And it always took a while to fall asleep. I always felt the need to force myself to quickly fall asleep as the darkness really unsettled me. Although nothing really happened. When I had brought this up years later, my family had also concurred with the feeling. I think my mom had brought this up to a Chinese tanji, sort of like a medium, and then the tanji had mentioned that it had been because the living room area had been the resting place for a spirit. Is this true? And finally, when we had moved to our current house and out of that haunted one time my late grandmother had commented to my mom that she had been mighty surprised that my mom had been so brave to have lived in our previous house with all that had been happening. And my mom, surprised, replied, "What in the world are you even talking about?" And my grandmother elaborated by asking, hadn't my mom realized that the ceiling fan had been speeding up and slowing down and the lights had been dimming and brightening all on their own after all these years? Note, the electrical system there for those two facilities had been controlled by a knob, so you'd have to turn the knob from right to left to control them. My mom, after hearing what my grandmother had said, had been totally shocked and said to my grandma that she had just summed up our electrical supply to not being consistent and had not thought about it like that at all. By the way, in case you're curious, the house is still being lived in since we've moved out and passed the house just a handful of times since then, and it seems as normal as it could be. Anyways, it's getting a little bit too lengthy, so I'll stop here. I hope you found my story interesting. Thanks for reading, Liv, and keep up the great work. See you later. Mel, I'm here to answer your questions. I just wanted to read your story first before I like interjected with the things. So let's start first with you and your brother waving to someone that no one could see outside of your window. So I don't see, there's two things that I could say. The first one I'm going to mention, which is because it immediately popped into my mind, is I don't know where you guys were living. Very, very unsure to me. I don't know if it was in the US or abroad, but oops, making messes. Entropy. My first thought when I read this portion of your story was that were there nuns that could be walking by your house? Because like you call nuns sister, right? Like everyone's a sister. And when you see a nun, if you don't know what their name is, you just say like, hi, sister. So I don't know if a nun was passing by your house spiritually, like energetically, and you and your brother, since you were children, perceived them, and hence why you were being so like happy and not acting like anything was out of the blue. Cause I don't know, I feel like the soul of a nun could be around children, but I don't get any other information besides that. And that was immediately the first thing that popped into my head. And then egotistically, as like something that I've learned from past readings, etc., just being a psychic medium, is the proposal of the idea that perhaps you guys were waving to a sibling that you don't know about, but I honestly have no idea. Or like a cousin, I'm not sure. Sometimes, you know, siblings pass before they reach maturity, right? So possibly there could have been someone in your family that you didn't know about, but again, that's just more of my like logical, egotistical brain. Whereas the first thing that popped into my head was like, you guys were seeing the soul of a nun, maybe. So again, I don't know the specifics or the semantics of the situation, but that's my answer for that part of it. Now, the next part where you talk about your mom falling and breaking her leg, I am very happy that she's fine and that nothing more scary happened. But when I started reading your story or that portion of the story, I see your mom out on like a porch. It's not super big. And then there's like a sidewalk that goes out in front of it that leads to like the front of the house or to a sidewalk that is adjacent to it. But I did see that the porch was slippery and that it was wet and that it's like darker outside, or that there was a light on in the front porch. It wasn't during like broad daylight. It was either the sun was going down or the sun was set and there was a light somewhere. But I did see that the porch was wet and I perceived that it was raining or had rained, if not both. But when you say that the porch was slippery, that helps me validate what I was seeing before I read to that point in your story. And I do think that there is the soul of a man that's in that house. I also think that there are other, like, what I would call, since you have listened to all of our podcasts, you know what this means, but like skittery, low vibrational things, just like assorted knick-knack paddywhacks of energy, if you will, that are just drawn to the house in and of itself. But I do think that there's a soul of a man in the house as well. But when I get to the part where you talk about your mom going to the tonji, I sort of, you know, put my medium hat on and asked spirit in general if there was the soul of someone who did pass in the living room. And I started writing out these things as a talking point. So specifically, I wrote down porch fall. I'd seen that it had been raining, but I feel a bit of anger, like an angry energy. Perhaps this man or this angry energy seized the opportunity to facilitate the accident happening because the conditions were already slippery. So I feel like it's 50% accident, 50% paranormal. It's almost like, oh, the conditions were perfect, so I'm going to, you know, make this lady fall because I'm angry type of thing. So I think the conditions helped facilitate the paranormal activity, like the fact that the porch was wet. But again, I wrote, I'm not 100% sure. And then I wrote, is this a resting place for a spirit? And I wrote, a male spirit, I feel, but I'm not sure about the location of the living room being the place that he passed. Because then I started switching back and forth between like my mediumship mind and like my egotistical just computing mind, right? And I wrote, I'm unsure if he died in the home or somewhere else, like a hospital. But then I felt like I started getting more information, like information from like the soul of this man or someone speaking behalf of them, because I started getting information very quickly. It was very concise and detailed, but it was like being shown like flash photos, almost like you're going through like a clicker on a PowerPoint or something, of information, of details. So I feel like there is a man that did pass in the house. I do think that they passed in the living room, but I specifically wrote died, but no one knew for some time. And the last thing that this person saw was the ceiling fan spinning, but no one could come and get him help, and he couldn't help himself or call someone to get help. But he was sitting in a chair alone, and he's very angry that no one came to help him when he was passing. So I think that might be some of the reasons why you guys were experiencing the paranormal activity that you did, and why it seemed to be sort of poignant to other people in your house, like your mom. I don't think it was necessarily something against your mom. I think it was just the soul of an angry man that was acting out. And I do think that the Tonji was right, that someone did pass in the living room, but I think this person wasn't found for a while, and that's some of the anger that they still carry with them as a soul. That was information that just like sort of flashed into my brain as I was trying to think about it with my rational brain, and it interrupted the thoughts that I was having. So it could be right, it could be wrong, we won't really know. But, you know, for the podcast's sake, that is the answer that I feel popped into my brain. So Mel, thank you very much for your story. It was very unsettling. And I'm glad that your mother's better now, and that your grandma was on it. She was like, why did you live there so long? It was weird. Like, leave it to grandma to bring that up second to the fact after you move out, of like, I'm not going to be there to like pry into your personal life, but, and then lays down some spiritual stuff like that. It's so funny. So thank you to everyone who has sent in a listener story. If you too would like to send in your own story for a chance to be featured in a future video or podcast, go down to the description below or the show notes, depending on if you're listening on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube channel or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. You can click the link that says submit your spooky paranormal stories here, and it'll bring you to your website where you can type in your story, and it'll be sent right on over to our emails. So I look forward to reading any stories that come in the future. I hope you all enjoyed listening to the stories. And until next time, peace.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.